Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Better Beer Club podcast. I'm your host, Nate Island, and with me, my co-host, Sean Dunn, a.k.a. the Better Beer Drinking Black Bearded Broadcaster.
Hey, everybody. My name's Sean. I'll be the sidekick in this venture. And we're here to talk about beer and all things beer. We like to drink beer. And
beer it is.
Beer it is. So what do you got? What do you got? What's your outline for this?
I thought for the first situation here, we would go ahead and introduce the podcast for what it is. Let everybody know what we're up to. I think you pretty much rounded it up. We're up to beer, drinking beer.
Mm-hmm.
I think each week we're gonna break down a different type of beer, different company, and review it, how it tastes, how it looks, how it smells. That kind of stuff. Talk a little bit about those breweries.
All
and those
things owners. That were used to be reserved for wineries and wine tasting.
Yeah.
Now it's the age of perfumey, tasty beers.
I don't I don't dislike wines, don't get me wrong, but yeah. There's something about a nice cold beer in your hand, you
there's
know?
Something as about a, it. I just drank a lukewarm one, so I'm hoping we get to the tasting portion of this podcast quickly.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
For some reason, I don't usually start drinking beer till a little later. But the idea of doing a podcast about beers without having a beer reminded me that there were no cold beers.
Yeah. Well, I don't drink beer while I'm sleeping. So does that count? Other than that, I think it's beer 30.
Okay. So this podcast sort of had its genesis in a project that you've got going, which is the Better Beer Club, of which this podcast is a part. What's going on with the Beer Club?
Well, the Beer Club is a web-based community and an organization that that I launched to bring together a community of beer drinkers, home brewers, craft beer lovers.
These are people that do or do not attend meetings.
Well, the if you by
for
meetings,
problem for problem drinking
if yeah we do attend. We do go to meetings, yes, absolutely, but they are meetings at breweries where we drink more beer. So if that is the problem being solved, problem solved. Yeah, I think what happens is sometimes there's not enough. There's too much blood in their alcohol stream, so we need to fix that. I think is how it works.
So this kind of had its genesis in a project that you got involved in, which was a little home brewing, and this kind of took you to some local breweries. People around town. We hail from Southern California area, and you sort of found some like-minded people in these circles, and it kind of led you to believe we need a podcast and a beer club right now. Damn it!
Right now, damn it! Yeah, exactly. yeah, and I thank you for putting this all together and making this all possible. Hopefully, this is something that people really like listening to, and we can keep on going with. That's what the Beer Club is. I want to bring everybody together to share information and do this kind of stuff together, you know, and support your local craft brewery. You know, even if you don't live in this area, you got one near you. You probably got six near you. And
we're doing beer tastings from not just people around our area, but everywhere. So if you've got someone local to you and you want to send us a name or, shit, a six-pack, we'll drink it and tell you what we think about it.
That's a really good point, actually. I am going to upload an address of a P.O. box that you can happily mail a six-pack to us.
check your local restrictions.
Yeah. I've heard that if you wrap the beer in a Ziploc bag and then proceed to package it fantastically and put it in a box, then even if it breaks, beer doesn't come out, so they don't open it up and confiscate all your beer.
Okay,
they just send it to you broken and shitty. But you know, hopefully one bottle will get to us, right?
Yeah, you're going to run into that sooner or later with purchasing from these craft breweries around the country. So I've been a member of the website. I know there's a lot of forums on there. There's a lot of home brewing tips. There's a lot of coupons and things you can get for your local breweries. What else does the website sort of provide people? You know, the podcast is not necessarily going to be a proprietary part of that, but it's going to be open to the public. But just in case people are interested.
Right, yeah. I definitely want the podcast to be open to the public, you know, everybody. But to back up, you mentioned something I forgot to mention earlier was the tangible items, the newsletter, the coupons, and your membership card. So as a Better Beer Club member, We do mail you a newsletter, and there's different reviews of at the moment local breweries in our area, and or local. Next month we're doing featuring home brewing and getting into home brewing if you're not already started. So we're going to be mailing out. We're going to be featuring suppliers in the area. And that kind of stuff. The coupons, since you mentioned it, I'll just go ahead and talk about those for a minute. For the month of March, Dale Brothers was nice enough to give us half off growler fills with the purchase of a growler. Rock House Brewing Company in Rancho Cucamonga, in Upland, gave us half off the price of a beer with the purchase of a flight. Revolt Brewing Company gave us free grain and free hops, depending on if you spent $30 and if you bought X amount of grain. And then SoCal Homebrew gave us $10 off when you spent $50. Just those are the kind of ideas we got for coupons. I know next month Hamilton Brewing Company is giving us some coupons, and I'm trying to work out something with the suppliers to give a deal on the kits. So if you wanted to get into homebrewing, you could start getting into that.
Is there anything on 30 packs of Bud Light?
Yeah.
Anywhere on there?
Yeah, I have a few advertisements on the website about Bud Light, actually. And it's drinkability, as they call it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a question.
Smooth, doesn't let you down, never fills you up.
Right, yeah. I had a question on that. I think I dropped it on the website, and it was about the drinkability. It was interesting to me because I've never had a beer that wasn't drinkable, you know? I mean, I've definitely, you know, if it was
I think they're referring to the drinkability of double digits, like 14 to 18 beers. Yeah.
Can you put down during the sunlight down 30 time. Of them? Yeah.
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 I have to testify. It's definitely drinkable at that level.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. They've definitely watered it down to the point where you can drink 15 or 20.
Well, it all depends on your outlook. Is you know, drinking a sprint or a long distance race for you? Do you want to drink 3 or 30? I
mean. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point. It's a good point. So,
okay, so
that's you know what we do. We drink beer, and chat about it. So
great. So during the podcast today, we're gonna have a few segments, some up and coming things in beer news. We're gonna have some home brewing tips with Nate, and I'll sit back and drink a Bud Light while he does that. And then we also have some a beer review coming up from a beer selected by Nate this week, which I don't know if we want to divulge this now or later, but. We've got a special beer to taste from a brewery somewhat close to us, San Diego, California.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, let's open these up and stop talking about nonsense and start getting into the real.
Okay, well, let's get into that.
So it is St. Archer's, the Blonde Ale. Since you're such a fan of
Can I just say it's such a relief to have that beginning out of the way and get down to the beer drinking.
I thought I'd go easy on you this week and give you a blonde ale.
I have to admit,
Bud Light fan.
Even though I've got recording equipment and I can, you know, like talk with any normal other dude, I am normally a domestic beer drinker, which I think one of Nate's big challenges during the course of this podcast is to change that about me. But many have tried.
It's my goal. My goal in life is to show you the bigger picture.
All right, well, tell us a little bit about, as we open, why'd you select it? What's this beer all about? What's the brewery have going on? What are we looking at here? You were telling me that they're sort of, they've got a lot of advertising based around skateboarding and all kinds of other extreme sports that you may...
I can already smell it. It almost smells like Bud Light, Sean. I think
Does
you...
It?
I shouldn't say that. St. Archer would be really mad at me. St. Archer, they're out of San Diego. San Diego actually is a huge craft beer scene right now. There's been upwards to like 90 something breweries or up in the hundreds that have opened up in the area, in the immediate San Diego area, in the last I would say, you know, 3 to 5 years or whatever.
I just like to say, honey, we are using the stemless wine glasses, which she's never seen me use for a beer before. I will put them back.
I'm gonna be buying some Better Beer Club goblets that we can taste these in. I think it's appropriate, you know.
We may need them only. Well, we went stemless just because it seemed more sturdy. But let's drink this beer.
Yeah. So yeah, I go. Let me pour mine and make sure that.
So a blonde ale. is sort of like, I mean, it's, how does a blonde ale differ from a lager? Are you familiar with the difference there?
Yeah. Ales and lagers are fermented at different temperatures, for starters, I would say, would probably be the main difference. Lagers are fermented at a lot lower temperature. And so what that does, interesting enough.
Is that why the mountains turn blue?
That is why. Yeah. Okay. That's why the mountains turn blue. No, the fermentation process is actually fairly finicky, even though, you know, you pitch yeast and it's going to turn into beer. But by fermenting at a lower temperature, you're going to get less esters and different chemicals that are released by the yeast. So you get different flavor profiles. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, I would say yeast is probably your primary agent for flavoring of beer. So depending on what type of yeast you're using is where you're going to get the different flavors. So you're going to use, whether you're using an ale yeast or a lager yeast. That's the difference I know of anyway.
Cool. Well, let's taste it. Cheers. To St. Archer Brewing Company, Blonde Ale. Mmm. That's quite nice. It's, yeah, it does remind me almost of like a full-strength domestic beer.
It kind of does, yeah. I would have to agree with that. It
well, almost like a little bit like a Heineken-y, like a German style, you know, almost a mixture of those two.
It does kind of have that, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. If you're not familiar with St. Archer's Brewery out of San Diego, this is their Blonde Ale, and I kind of like the logo, to be honest. I've seen this symbol before. I don't know what to call it, but it's like the wings that are creating the bow of an arrow and then an arrow shooting through, but the arrow is actually like a lightning bolt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Seems kind of cool.
I think well, let's get down to what we all really care about here, alcohol content. I mean, we can pretty much all struggle through anything we have to, right? I mean, 4.8%, so that's right in the ballpark of somebody like me.
I got, you know, like you said, the primary reason why I got this one was to ease you into the situation. And
what I'm a little scared of is, I mean, I can't say scared because, you know, I'll drink it, but, you know, the high percentage beers, which I'm sure we're going to be drinking, and I've drank, you know, quite a few of them in my day, but, you know, with those, I feel like you drink two or three and you're making a scene.
Well, we'll definitely have to get you into that then. I would love to hear a podcast scene. Yeah, I like this. This is actually nice, and it's light. It's easy. I would say easy drinking. It's got, like you said, full flavor.
You know, something we didn't discuss before the podcast was, are we going to have a rating system for the beers? Like, you know, like I don't know, you know, what could it be? 5 stars? 10 stars?
Oh.
Five koozies? Koozie rating?
Yeah. How many koozies does this beer get?
Out of 5?
I like it, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Then, I mean,
maybe we should go 10. That way we got more wiggle room there.
Yeah, you might as well. There's going to be a lot of beers, so we got to rate it between 1 and 10.
We are in agreement that it's koozie, not cozy, right?
Cozy?
I've heard people say cozy.
Oh, I always thought it was a koozie.
So out of 10 koozies.
On the note of koozies, I brought you this koozie.
Yeah.
It's a Better Beer Club member koozie, and this is actually the gift that you get when you sign up first time for a Better Beer Club membership. So I wanted to give that to you.
Nice,
as a Better Beer Club member.
I appreciate that. I noticed that I wasn't able to attend, but you guys just did a pub crawl where a lot of members went and you guys kind of were able to do a little poker event, right? Poker pub crawl.
Yeah. It's a poker run that we do. So it's you collect poker cards and there's prizes that are given out. And throughout the month, we do like social media giveaways.
Awesome.
For like where we give prizes away for the people who take the best photos at the locations and that kind
beer
of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that you had something up there about beer porn also.
Yeah, beer porn. Yeah, yeah. Now, although that is not actual porn, it's like photos of beer and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to want to post a photo of a beer in your hand while you're not wearing very many clothes, we probably would accept it. I mean, probably it depends on your level of clothing, just for the listeners, you know, in case anybody wants to. You know. But again, you have to be a member to be a part of the forums. So So sign up for the Better Beer Club and post your porn photos.
How many koozies are you going to give the St. Archers here based on other blonde ales, other things of this nature that maybe you've had in the past? What are you going to give it? keep in mind that somebody worked really hard on this recipe, and I think I have to keep in mind that maybe it's not what I normally drink, but I have to base it on its merits all around.
I think we should leave that for some like final tasting thoughts. I think maybe we finish the St. Archer's, and then koozie it. I feel like sometimes beers have different profiles as you get into them longer as they warm up and different stuff like that. says the man that just drank a warm Bud Light.
This is a nice palate cleansing after that. All right, so what do we got coming up as far as like you got some beer news, and I know you got some home brewing tips for everybody this week. What are we looking at next on the schedule?
I think that's gonna be the beer news. Yeah, we got some beer news. Well, let me ask you this, just a personal question about the koozie before we move on. The cozy, as you put it, is this for keeping your beer cold,
or keeping your hand warm?
Or is this for keeping your hand warm?
Well, I guess that changes with the seasons. In the summer, you would expect it to insulate the coldness of the beer. In the winter, you can't be outside with a Bud Light in your hand with that one.
I mean, I guess you don't need the mountains to be blue if
they're covered with a cozy.
If your hand is freezing.
So are these, for those of you that are like hardcore, craft brewery drinkers at this point already, you may not know, but cozies or koozies usually come in one of two different sizes, one being the Coors Light size, one being the Bud Light size, and never the two shall meet. If you use a Coors Light koozie on a Bud Light, it's no longer a Coors Light.
You done fucked up your koozie. Yeah. Unless you like to frequent Bud Lights or Pepsi.
I think this is something your dad's brought up in the past.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's a Coors Light guy.
Yeah, they're a Coors Light family. Yeah, we are a Coors Light family. So whenever you're at an event or something, the lake, having a
events
vacation,
like Tuesdays.
There's an abundance of Coors Light, and anytime someone puts their Bud Light in your koozie, you might as well just leave it in the lake.
It's an unforgivable sin. Okay, cool. So beer news?
Beer news. Let's do beer news.
I don't know if that one's going to work.
Beer news.
Yeah, it's awful,
I think we can make a
crashing work of the Hindenburg, for beer ratings.
Yeah, well, I forgot to talk about St. Archer's at all, but in terms of an actual brewery, you were asking me about their skateboard stuff and everything else like that, so maybe we'll do that real quick, and then we can play that song again and see if we can make that work better.
Or maybe I'll try a different song for the news.
Well, the St. Archer's Brewery, like we're talking about, they have a I just took a few notes, and it said they have a 33,000 square foot facility down in San Diego, which is fairly big in terms of these type of breweries. So they're doing some big things. On the website, they had an intro with Paul Rodriguez, and he is a professional skateboarder who broke a lot of X Games sims at a really young age, and has moved on to do pretty big things, and I'm thinking I'd have to do more research on this, but they're calling them ambassadors, and there's like 20 of them, and there's some big names involved with this company, and they're all professional snowboarders, skateboarders, photographers, surfers, that kind of stuff. So it's a pretty young, hip company, I think, is what they're going for, and it definitely shows in their website. So if you haven't seen the St. Archer's website, go check it out.
Yeah, and for all you young hip kids, put down the Bud Light Platinum. Stuff's terrible.
Wow, that's nice to hear. That's nice to hear a
oh,
Bud Light drinker say.
Yeah. Okay, so beer news?
Beer news. Yeah, we'll go with it. I think it's good news.
I think that's better. The other one was like somebody just had a health issue or something.
Okay. So I had a a note also on some real news. It was a police chase that happened last week. I don't know if you caught it. Did you happen to see the police chase? The motorcycle. Yeah, right here in our backyard. Yeah, yeah.
So he went right by here.
Yeah. So it was pretty interesting because it was like right down the street from us, apparently right on the street from you and what have you. But did you see the finish of it?
I saw that he ended up at the gas station.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So one of my beer news stories here is the gas station. So there's actually 35 states right now that are allowing the sale of beer, of draft beer, to go in growlers out of gas stations and grocery stores and that kind of stuff. You know, so one of the, you know, I kind of wanted to just touch on that and toss that around with you and see what your ideas are on that. But it's actually just like if you went to the brewery, they'll sell you a growler. They'll fill it with draft beer.
Yeah.
They'll wrap some tape around it so that it's sealed and they're not liable, and then send you on your way. You know.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? I mean,
well,
good idea, bad idea?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like maybe just sell cans and bottles. I mean, real beer drinkers would say, yeah, but I almost just think, you know, somebody's going to abuse it. I mean, you could just go in your car and open a can, too, if you're that kind of person. You're going to drink and drive. But, you know, I guess I think one of the cool things about craft breweries or local breweries is going there to get the product and getting, like, your growler filled or what have you, you know, instead of going down to CVS and buying a six pack of it. It's kind of an experience. So once it gets, it's like it ruined the taquito for me.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you can get a taquito at 7-Eleven, it's kind of killed it for me.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. My thought was, you know, if I walk into a gas station and my options are shitty wine, a Slurpee, mm-hmm. or the regular selection of crappy 40s, and some bitchin' craft draft beer. I'm gonna pick the draft beer. Yeah, exactly. And walk out of there, and I'm gonna be like, "Hey, can I get 20 on pump 3, this growler, and maybe that lottery ticket?"
Mm-hmm.
Walk on out, you know.
Yeah, no, it
so I my mean, thought was maybe the gas station was that guy pulling over to get himself a growler before he took off again, you know.
That's quite possible. That dude was flying down the street. I was outside sweeping my backyard, and just helicopters descended on my house like it was 1964.
We saw the Pacific country. It was crazy, dude.
They were just like hovering, and then the police helicopter just came down and pulled a Huey like right over my backyard, and my wife ran inside, and I thought, I'm going to go shut the garage, and then all of a sudden I see all my neighbors out here filming it. It was nuts. I saw the guy go by with all the cops chasing.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's
something strange about seeing helicopters just hover over your house.
Right. We saw four or five of them like heading down the street, and we were like, oh shit, it's right in our backyard.
Helicopters too, they don't glide. I mean, you know, that engine goes, I'm going to drop like a dead deer right on my house. I don't know about that, you know.
Right.
So how about you go hover over the park?
Yeah. Yeah. And then maybe he ran out of gas. I don't know. It was just one of those.
I think he was doing all this stuff, like gesturing to the cops, like, you know, sort of setting himself up to be a motorcycle icon in the Southern California area, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was a way of letting everybody know, like, hey, I would have kept going, but I ran out of gas.
Yeah.
And I needed a beer.
And I needed a growler. Yeah. Which I don't think we do that here yet, but maybe soon.
Yeah, maybe soon.
So the other story is...
Okay, we're getting it together here. Sorry, folks.
So the other story is a little bit more serious. It's an FDA spent grain rule that I've been reading about lately. It's actually been going on for like a year or so now, and they call it the Food Safety Monetization Act. And basically what has happened is the FDA has put new rules on what you can do with the spent grain, which there's all kinds of cool things.
Applies to home brewers?
This applies to home brewers because they trade their spent grain is a byproduct of what they make. And so they have to do something with it when they're done. And they could either stick it in a landfill or they could give it to a farmer or sell it to a farmer at bottom dollar, and then they feed it to their livestock. So the FDA's concern is the safety of our food supply.
Yeah.
So or so they say. Really, they're just creating problems, more problems for people. But but anyway, the idea is that that as of right now, they basically just give their spent grain away, most of them. And if the new law is passed, they will have to dry out all their grain, and they will have to be taxed on being a feed supplier.
Oh, wow.
and become regulated by feed supply laws and different stuff like that. And what have you, which means that they're just going to dump it into a landfill.
Yeah.
Which is a complete waste of when it comes to terms of self-sustaining and different things like that. So,
yeah.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, which way do you lean towards that? Would you?
I lean on the government staying out of it.
Yeah.
And we're also both interested in gardening and growing our own food and things of that nature and reusing stuff like that, like composting and things of that nature.
You can feed it to chickens.
Can you? We started a chicken venture before the beer thing.
Right.
Can you compost it? I'm assuming you could.
Oh, absolutely. I would imagine. You know what? Absolutely, you can. In fact, I dumped some of my spent grain. I didn't do any research on what it's going to release into the soil and what have mm-hmm. you, but I dumped a bunch of it into my soil and then planted some potatoes in that area, and the potatoes are just booming. So
there you go.
So I don't know. You know, I don't want to tie the two together, but you know, A you're leads to B. And I got potatoes.
1700s Ireland's GDP.
Potatoes and beer. Well, I have potato plants anyway. Yeah. I don't know if I'm ever going to get potatoes. But.
All right, cool. So is that it for beer news?
I have one more.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah. So, but on the same.
Okay. Story three,
it was. Another sort of question for you is another thing I sort of have been noticing lately, but Oscar Blues Brewery has released nationwide their Pinner Throwback IPA in 12-ounce cans. This is the reason I bring this up is because of the can situation. I'm noticing more and more that these breweries are putting their canning as opposed to bottling, and this particular brewery is like one of the people who have really started this movement.
Like Boddington's and things of that nature have always kind of done that. Right.
What is that?
Boddington's Pub Ale and Guinness.
In cans?
Yeah, yeah. 16-ounce cans, pints?
Yeah. But
on a smaller
but
scale.
I've been noticing like a lot of these craft breweries have been doing them with these really intricate, you know, designed like almost like graffiti art cans, you mm-hmm. know, and really getting into the canning of it. But I've always thought that like when it comes to Bud Light or Coors Light or that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. it's in a can, you're drinking it, okay, fine, you know, it's whatever, but to me it kind of tastes funny. I mean, do you,
the can,
yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody else is getting flavor profiles from cans, but yeah. or if that's, you know, maybe it's all in my head, I don't know, but
my wife definitely thinks that cans and part of flavor. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Bud Light in a bottle is a real treat. So I haven't had it in a while. But, you know, I think you're probably right. I think there's something a little more crisp and refreshing, you know, as far as a beer from a bottle, I think, is concerned. Particularly when the bottle is, you know, ice fucking cold. You know what I mean? There's something really after a hard day's work or whatever. But you try recycling 300 bottles at a time.
Well, and you don't get shit for them.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's kind of...
Check
I think
out the head on that.
Oh, yeah, nice.
I just poured the last of my 22 in this stemless glassware, and it...
That we're going to take really good care of, sweetie.
Probably had about 2 inches on it. Yeah, I don't know. I recently drank a longboard lager and a Blue Moon that were in a can also, and it... and. I drink a lot of draft longboard because we serve it at the restaurant, mm-hmm. and as soon as I put it to my lips, I was like, "Ooh, is that longboard even?" It kind of has a, you know. So I don't know. I mean, either way, get it out there, get people drinking it. Why not?
Yeah.
You know. I mean, if they'll drink Bud Light, they'll definitely drink that, right?
I always find it kind of a shame to drink bottles because, I mean, unless it's something really tasty and they're really expensive, like Bud Light in a bottle, it's like. Dude, like you're saying, if you're camping, you're going out to the lake or something, you're gonna be drinking beer all day. It's like you're gonna like create some sort of, you know, huge mound of glass somewhere that you're never gonna, you know. It's just, I mean, I know you can recycle it, which we do, but you know, it's just a lot of material.
It is.
And it's like I don't need that much packaging,
right?
But it's enjoyable. If you're gonna have two beers, I say go glass.
This company actually, I believe, created a topping device that. Cans them one by one, like that they do themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, instead of running it through a machine or a company that you run through the truck and do all that kind of stuff, they just, it's almost like with the bottles where you just cap it. It's like fill the can and cap it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cool.
All right.
Well. Right on. Well, that's a very enlightening round of beer news from Nate.
1, 2, 3. Beer.
So we're going to get to potency, which is what everybody's wondering about these beers soon. Because they can taste like anything. I mean, the taste is definitely important. But, you know, we'd like to give you a review on the potency of the beer towards the end of the podcast. So yeah, what's up next?
It's got to do the job, right?
Is it time for some home brewing news? Are you brewing anything right now?
I am. Well, I am at that wonderful bittersweet stage where your carboy is empty and you need to start your new brew process. But I did just the last one I did, I split three ways, actually. So I split it into I did a honey blonde. And I split it into a flavoring with lavender, and then a second flavoring where I actually dumped some apple cider into it.
Yeah,
and and it actually re-fermented once I had dumped the apple cider into it. So that it the alcohol by volume probably went, you know, not quite double, but
yeah,
but it should be more. And then I even bottle conditioned it. I experimental bottle conditioned it with a touch of grapefruit juice. Because some of the hops leave that grapefruit flavor anyways, so
yeah.
I'm hoping that adds enough sugar to bottle carbonate. If it doesn't, then what I'm gonna have is a flat apple beer,
yeah. which is mixable with any seltzer water available at your local grocery store.
Yeah, probably make with a ice, really good toilet
girls
cleaner.
Call a spritzer. So as far as the kind of like the home brewing tips, I'm not really a home brewer at this point. I'm definitely interested in it. Yeah. My brother-in-law does it. Are you going to cover some basics this week, or what do people need to know about getting started in home brewing?
I thought that would be the homebrew thing that we did this week, was getting started into home brewing for those who don't. And maybe we could even get into well, next month, like I said, we're featuring home brewing the whole month, so supplies and that kind of stuff. So getting started with homebrewing. Oh, I forgot the intro to this intro. This isn't called homebrewing. I forgot.
Oh yeah, forgot we did. Intro. We had a little something jotted down.
So just so everybody knows, this is this segment's called "The Wifey Doesn't Know What I Hide in the Closet." Is that the intro music?
Yeah, it is. There's something homesteading about it, like women's. The women are washing clothes by hand. You're drunk in a shed with a closet in it.
Yeah.
Like it used to be.
We'll get better at this. And if we don't, then that's probably why you like it.
So, yeah. All right, what do we need to know to get started? You need a tank of some sort, and you need water, and you need some, I know nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, there's three ingredients. I mean, there's hot water, there's grain, and there's yeast. And that's really all you need. And then the addition of hops, I think a lot of people consider mandatory. And nowadays I would say it's definitely mandatory. But I mean, yeast, grain, and water is what makes beer. so that's all you need. And then you need a vessel to ferment in. And a lot of nowadays, I've even seen people fermenting in big plastic jugs, you know.
Oh, really?
With caps. In fact, some of the carboy... there's new carboys they've released that are plastic carboys, like hardened plastic carboys. So they're leaning towards fermenting in plastic. I prefer glass.
Yeah, but I'm sure the plastic comes at a cost savings, which is kind of cool for people just interested in trying it.
Exactly. In fact, the tip of the week, the homebrew tip of the week was going to be the 1 gallon cider jugs. I mentioned that I put some apple cider in my beer and split and did some secondary flavoring. Those single gallon cider jugs, you can get them at Trader Joe's and a couple different places. They allow you to brew small batch beer, where you can brew 1 gallon of beer for really, really cheap. So
I'd like to try that. You know, now what do you think, just from a layperson's perspective, about like the Mr. Beer kit you'd get at like Bass Pro Shops or like CVS during the Christmas season?
I mean, if your grandma gave it to you, go ahead and brew some beer, you know? I mean, it's going to make beer. I feel
like I've seen a
beer.
Lot of YouTube videos of people, like, blowing those things up or, like, setting them on fire or something boiling over and women screaming.
Yeah. And it's not going to – it's going to get you at least, like, some primary knowledge and maybe start a – you know, start a bug that will get you further. So, you know, it's not the end of the world, but it's not the worst way to go, I guess. But mm-hmm. I think the worst way would go would be to do nothing.
Yeah.
And not brew beer, but it's something. It has plastic bottles and plastic caps, and sometimes they don't hold the right carbonation or whatever else. So, like, I would say get something that gives you a capping device mm-hmm. where you can cap bottles. You don't even need to go buy bottles. Like, I would say start. I mean, how many people listening to this don't already drink 22-ounce bottles and bottles of it? You know, as long as it's not screw top and it's bottle, like, pop top,
yeah.
you can save those bottles and have enough bottles to cap them yourself. Plus, you get to drink the beer, you know?
Yeah, there you go. I know you've been doing that. I've been trying to save you some bottles. So.
I've definitely been saving bottles.
I can't uncrush any cans for you. But well, that sounds... Yeah, I would like to try it, and I think throughout the pod, you know, as we continue with the podcast, maybe we'll do a batch and sort of, you know, go through the weekly processes that are required to do it just for beginners like me and maybe some of our listeners.
Yeah. I mean, really, what you would want to do is go down to a homebrew supply store and get a kit. They sell starter kits. It gives you pretty much everything you need to get started. And then you decide which direction you want to go, whether or not you want to go extract or whether or not you want to go all grain. All grain is a little bit – it's less expensive in the long run, but it takes a little bit more knowledge and it takes a little bit more, you know, knowing what you're doing. So extract is perfectly acceptable. I started with extract. You know, I brewed some good beer with it. If you have a friend that does it, even the better route to go would be to buy a carboy, because that's all you really need is the carboy mm-hmm. and the yeast, and then go to your friend's house and have him brew up something with you, so you get your feet wet, mm-hmm. and then take the carboy home and stick it in your closet, and just don't tell the wifey what's in your closet.
Cool. Well, I think what's in there is savings. You know, also.
That's true. I think my last batch of beer cost me five and a half gallons. It cost me a little over like $12 to brew or something like
that's
that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
All right, cool. So every week, we want to keep this kind of short and sweet. We don't want to go on too long.
Right.
Every week. So we do have a pub-related joke of the week for you guys to tell your buddies during the weekend or on a Tuesday whenever you're off work hanging around. And what else? What else do we got on the docket for this week's episode?
That's pretty much it. I just wanted to touch on the brewing thing real quick. I just wanted to say, like, forget about making it fancy. You know, go mm-hmm. with the basics, bottom dollar, what it takes to get started, and get started. Sanitation is key. If you're gonna have to sanitize a lot of stuff, and then I'm gonna touch on what a smash recipe was, because one of the ways to go would be a smash. It's a single malt, single hop recipe. So it's sort of scary when you start looking at some of the recipe builds that people have online. It's like, holy shit, there's so many ingredients, you know?
Yeah.
But if you go with the smash, a single hop, single malt addition, you're dealing with one characteristic on both sides, and you can really figure out which flavor you're getting from which. And so it's a good way to start. But yeah,
cool.
So the pub joke of the week.
Pub joke of the week, I think we
do we have like
are
some,
ready for it.
Do we have like a drum cue or something?
We're going to use the shit out of this one.
a gorilla walks into a bar, pulls up. Haven't told the joke yet.
Yeah, it's going to be good, though.
Are we allowed to tell the joke before we talk about the beer and the koozies?
Oh, let's give him a koozie rating right before the joke and go out with the joke.
All right. So what are you thinking?
I'm going to go, just because it's right up my alley. It's gold. It's kind of light. It's moderate. It's got drinkability. It's refreshing. I'm gonna give it an 8.5. 8.5 koozies.
I hope we don't get sued for saying drinkability too many times. I think it has drinkability also. How much did you give it?
I'm gonna go 8.5 koozies.
8.5 koozies.
This is something that if I saw it next time, because I'm sort of a domestic drinker, beer drinker, I would definitely get it.
I tell you what, I feel nice right now.
Yeah, I think it's definitely...
It went straight to the dome.
Yeah. Bebopped over here and bebopped over there.
4.8 my ass. Wait, is it 4.8?
That's what it says on the box.
Oh, yeah, 4.8, yeah.
So
yeah.
What do you give it?
I was going to give it an 8. Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, I was giving it an 8 because I didn't want to put it through the roof. You know, we've got a lot of beer to drink here. Can't put anything. Can't set the bar too high, you know. Yeah.
How does cost factor in?
It's actually not very
pretty
much.
Reasonable?
Yeah.
Cool.
I think a 22-ounce at the store I was at was a little over $4. I think it was only like under $5 for a 22-ounce. I mean, that's...
Great.
You'll spend more than that
so
at the bar.
Get yourself a St. Archer Blonde Ale. It's definitely koozie approved over here. And give us our pub joke, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right. A gorilla walks into a bar, pulls up a bar stool, and orders a beer. The bartender pours him a tall, frothy mug and says, that'll be $9. Apparently it wasn't a St. Archer's because it was $9. as the gorilla is paying, the bartender adds, you know, we don't get very many gorillas around here. The gorilla looks at the bartender and says, well, at $9 a beer, it's no wonder. That's it. That's the joke of the week.
All right, see you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.